Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs, chapter 12, we'll read verse 13 together, and then we'll turn yet to another passage. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. I'll have you turn to 1 John, chapter 2, verse 19. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 19. While you're turning, I'll read yet one other verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You're turning to 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. I'll read 2 Corinthians 6, 17. The Bible says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, you're in 1 John chapter 2. We'll read verse 19 together. Ready? "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us in this place. God, your presence is very, very obvious. And those that are very uncomfortable with it need to learn how precious it really is. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for a man of God in our city. Thank you that this is a place, it's respected. It's respected because you're here, respected because he's here. Now, Father, please fill him with your power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen, please. Change our lives, change our church, change our area, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's the first sermon for the evening. By the way, I still believe like Grandma did too. And if you don't, you ought to think back. I look at one guy, he is so sour looking right now. You used to be in a church that believed that way. Well, let's get started here. Tonight's sermon's called "Let's Split Our Church." Let's Split Our Church. Now, the sermon title is very thought-provoking, very enticing. I've studied church splits. I've asked myself, what causes them? Every preacher fears a church split. You've heard of them. This isn't the kind of sermon that you can prepare. I didn't sit down a couple of weeks ago and throw some words down on a piece of paper to prepare this sermon, to be very honest. I've been preparing this sermon for 29 years of my life. 29 years ago, God called me to preach and began to train me immediately. I have for many, many, many months been working on this sermon, just in writing it down, but for many years, many, 29 years, I have been gathering tidbits here and there that will help me to deliver this evening's sermon. I was preaching in Georgia, and I was told this story. I knew of the story. I talked to the people about the story, but there was a church, a good church, a good-sized church, that got in a fuss about an oak tree on the property. There was an oak tree there. There was not enough parking on the property, and it was suggested they cut that tree down. It was a huge tree. They cut it down so that they could pave the parking lot so they could get more people into the church. Part of the church said, "We're not going to have that tree cut down." Other part of the church said, "Yes, we are." They got in a fuss. It got so blown out of proportion, the church split right down the middle. Half the people stayed. Half the people went up the road and started another church. They split over a tree. I thought, how silly. How silly. There was a pastor who was leaving his church, and there was a young man there. That young man felt very strongly that he ought to be recommended, at least to the people, to be the next pastor. His preacher was leaving. Matter of fact, this happened in Tennessee. And so here, this pastor was leaving. A younger man was in the church and called to preach. The pastor would not recommend this younger man. And so the younger man got angry. And as a result of it, he went up the road and started him a church to compete with the church that I thought he loved, all because his preacher did not feel that he was the man to take the church. What a silly thing. How does this happen? I know up in Minnesota, I know of two brothers that work together. and one's ego was damaged as they were together and left and was angry and was mad and split his brother's church. I know of a longtime pastor who had chosen a young man. This happened in on the East Coast here. A longtime pastor had chosen a young man from within his congregation, and this pastor was going to step aside, and this young man was to come in, and with his pastor's approval, he was going to come in, and he was going to take over the pastor to the church. But once it all took place, this young man did very well. Church began to grow. It was thriving. Matter of fact, the pastor who had stepped aside could not handle the success of the young man that he had trained, and he really became angry about it, didn't like it. He would he was offended by that success. He would not disapprove of anything the young man was doing, but he just wouldn't put his approval on it either. And it sent a signal. For long, the older man actually walked away from his church that he had pastored for years, went across town and started a church, and split that church. I'm talking about a church running 600 or 700 people. What a sad thing. I know of a pastor that he left a church, another pastor came in. That pastor that left, his grown child stayed in the church, which is very reasonable, nothing wrong with that. But somehow this grown child did not want to follow the new pastor. Before long, using daddy's name, had gathered a group of people together and had caused an uprising and actually convinced those people that they ought to split off the church. Really, hurt her daddy. And herself and her husband, and it was a sad thing. Splits hurt people. A church split would hurt many people. For instance, the people, let me tell you who's hurt the most when a church splits. It's the people that cause the split. They're the ones that are hurt the most. But then it hurts new Christians. New Christians come along, and when a church splits, the new Christians say, "What's going on here?" It hurts the lost. Church is supposed to be getting people saved. It's supposed to be a place of unity, not discord. Well, we hurt the lost. It hurts the entire church's reputation in the community. It hurts the man of God that has to go through the split. What in the world is a church split exactly? Well, a church split is where some portion of the church splits away from the main body. Now, let me tell you how it happens. It starts first in the heart. In somebody's heart, they personally split. Maybe there's somebody here. You've already started your split. Nobody knows. It's personal. Inside, though, it's there. You've already split away from your pastor, already split away from your church. I don't think that's the case of anybody in this building. I really don't. But nobody knows because it's a personal, internal split first. Then they leave kind of privately, but not leaving the church. What happens is it starts as a personal thing on the inside, and they usually gather some people that will agree, but they keep their differences private. So it starts out, it's personal in the heart, then it becomes a little private gathering, and then finally they leave the church and make it public. So it goes from personal to private to public. And then they leave their church. I don't ever want to have a bad split of our church. I do want to have a good split of our church, and I'm going to explain that to you. I'm not going to try to fix anything tonight because nothing's broken. You find out that the way I do things is I believe in a thing called preventative maintenance. I want to prevent a split. You know, the worst time in the world to try to prevent a split is in the middle of one. And that's usually when the preacher says, "Well, better do something about this." No, I do not see one on the horizon, and I would like this evening to put the last nail in the devil's coffin so that we don't have to face this thing. I'm not trying to fix anything because nothing's broken. And let me tell you something. If you're a guest here tonight, you are in a unified church. I mean, we're unified like no church, and I think that's one reason why God has been blessing us. But let me tell you, there are good and bad splits. You say, I've never heard of such. Well, you listen and you'll learn. Now, bad splits. What in the world causes this thing that I call a bad split? Well, let me tell you this. Gossip is always a part of it. Gossip is always a part of a bad split. The Bible is very clear about it. I won't take the time, but if we went to Proverbs chapter 6 and read verse 12 all the way through verse number 19, the Bible talks about those that sow discord among the brethren. And that word discord means we are actually dividing people. That's what a split is. Somebody comes along and figures out a way to divide the people. It even says there, these six things doth the Lord hate, and that it lists as one of them those that sow discord among the brethren. You never have a split in the church unless somebody's their tongue is a wagon and they're talking. And so gossip causes a church split. Let me tell you something else that causes church splits. It's rejectors of pastoral authority. Businessmen who want to show their power or to show their strength, though they rise up and feel like they know better how to lead the church. There's a strong-willed woman. A strong-willed woman who wants to use her henpecked cubby to be her front man will get her rebellion out because she does not want to submit to the authority that God gives the pastor. By the way, church splits are caused by weak leaders who can't build anything on their own, so they must steal something that someone else built. They can't do it on their own, and they've seen what somebody else has done, and now they'll gather a few people and try to steal from a congregation what somebody else has built. So what will cause a church split? What causes these bad splits? Well, let me tell you this. Something else that causes bad splits are church splitters from other churches coming and joining your church. Maybe that's why they left theirs. Maybe they were already a split off of theirs. They couldn't handle the pastor's authority. Or maybe they were gossips and they wind up coming to our church. Let me tell you something. I like people that transfer into my church. I'd like to see that they're right with their pastor. If it's a church of like faith, that they're right with their pastor before they come here. And you know something, we had a fella come here, and I'm just going to tell you the story. I had this old boy, he came in here, and boy, he came on like gangbusters. He came to see me. He said, I want to join your church. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I asked him, I said, where are you from, and how you doing with your preacher? And there's another preacher, a Baptist preacher, and he said, well, we didn't see eye to eye. I called his preacher. I said, what's going on? He said, he left out of here and caused the biggest mess in my church. So I met with the man again. I said, you can't join my church till you get yourself right with your preacher. I'm not going to let you go out there and cause a mess somewhere and then come in here and cause a mess in my church, buddy, because you got a problem. I said, and you may not join my church until you get yourself right with your preacher. I met with this preacher, took him out to eat. I said, Doc, you got my word. This guy caused a mess in your church. I'm not going to let him cause a mess in mine, and he's either going to come get right with you, and until I hear from you, he can't join my church. He said, I don't want him back. I said, look, that's not the issue. I said, it is the principle of the thing. You know something? He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't get right with his preacher. Then he left us. Went to New Horizons. He now attends a church out of state that is a church of false doctrine that doesn't even teach salvation by grace through faith. I guess I read him right coming in the door. Well, what in the world causes church splits? Cliques. Little groups who want to stay independent of the church family, not become a part of the ongoing, and they don't want to become a part of what's really going on. They're too good for others, or, you know, they're all going to stick together because they believe one way, but everybody else believes another. Those things, they cause church splits. What causes a bad church split? A thing called disloyalty. Staff members or their wives. Their wives get jealous of the pastor's wife. Some staff member's wife wants to, you know, that what they do is they call the pastor's wife the first lady. But here's some staff member's wife. She just can't handle having another lady get a little extra attention. And Or a staff man, he just doesn't understand that the most important quality a staff man could have is loyalty. Disloyalty in the leadership, a deacon that doesn't realize what the Bible teaches about being a deacon. Thank God our men do. We're servants. Oh, but you can get in some churches, especially some that have been tampered by denominations, and they get this idea it's the deacon's job to run the preacher. It'll take a big truckload of deacons to run me, I'll guarantee you. It's all but a leadership. Somebody gets a little leadership around the church, and then that leadership soils, and it becomes disloyal, and it doesn't have the quality of fellowship. I'll tell you what'll split a church. A man that used to pastor that's not now that sits in the congregation. And he thinks he knows better and that he's smarter. And if he were in charge, let me tell you what he would do. Now listen, I've got a handful of men. I've probably got 8 or 9 men in my church that used to pastor. Not a one of them give me a moment's problem. They are decent, godly, loyal, hardworking men, and I'm very proud of them, and I love every one of them. Oh, but I've watched churches, a man, you know, he's no longer in the pastorate, and he sits there, and he sits in judgment on every little thing, and he could do better, and before long, he's got him a little group of people, he's convinced he's King Tut, and he'll get them to run off somewhere and destroy their families, and then have a problem and ruin himself. And well, from where do bad church splits come? Old people who do not want the old-time religion. So they gather other weak followers to themselves. They don't want to change their lives, but they do want to look spiritual. So they look for others that don't want to change, but do want to look spiritual. They get them a little nest of people together, and then they find comfort in being backslidden together, not admitting that they are, but they all just get together and say, we won't live right, we'll band together, and we'll look good to each other. And it's not long until somebody has enough courage to decide, well, then let's take our little group of backslidden people and we'll walk out of here. What causes bad church splits? I have to say, you take a situation like I inherited. You all know I was a little fearful of taking a church where the previous pastor was in the church. Why? Traditionally, it's a mess. People won't follow the new pastor. The pastor emeritus situation many times over and over and over again ends up with division in the church. Now the old, I'll tell you what, when Dr. Smith and I were doing some counseling with some people, I think it was Dr. Tom Malone said, Dr. Smith, you've got to make sure you're done pastoring. You got to have it out of your system. That way the new man can come in and pastor and you'll follow and you become a member of his church and he's now your pastor. Let me tell you something. Dr. Don Smith is a great man. That's exactly what he's done. That's exactly what he's done. I love him. I respect him. I admire him. And the feeling is mutual, not giving me a moment's problem. But when two men who have pastored the same church live in the same church, it often causes grief. Oh, and the same thing, go all the way down to the family of the old pastor. Mrs. Smith has been gracious. Jody and David have been fantastic, not having a moment's problem, not worried about it in the slightest. But it happens. Causes many, many splits. What causes bad splits? Let me tell you something else. When you get this attitude that you've got the old crowd and the new crowd, you've almost got a division there. Of course, there are those that were here when I got here, but you do understand we've added hundreds and hundreds of people, and if we're not careful, folks, we'll get this attitude that, well, they're part of the new crowd, and we're part of the old crowd. Folks, we're all supposed to be one crowd. And we all need to become one unified crowd, and indeed we have, but it won't hurt us to just be reminded of it, because if you start using that terminology all the time, you are almost setting it up so that somebody could come along and say, well, which crowd are you with? Let's be in Jesus' crowd, and let's make sure this thing stays as tight and unified as it has been thus far. all the old crowd, they could put the previous pastor or myself in an awkward position. You know, you could do this. You could run to Dr. Smith and expect him to make judgment calls on my administration, or the new crowd could come to me and expect me to somehow be critical of Dr. Smith and the history of his administration. Don't you do that to us. You'll cause grief. You'll cause problems. That's not how it's supposed to work. What happens? What happens? Well, the new administration, a pastor comes in and begins to make adjustments and changes, and people get upset and mad and say, well, it didn't used to be that way. Words just like that will split a church.
Yes, sir.
It used to be like that. Well, you didn't used to wear size 40 waist pants. We've got a revival going in our Christian school, but had I left it up to a couple of people, we would not have. But we did what needed to be done. And God's doing some wonderful things there. But we stick together. What causes a bad church split? I'll tell you what causes a bad church split. It's when somebody's ego is challenged. You didn't get the promotion you wanted. And if you could really trace back where your disloyalty came, it came at a moment when you wanted something that you didn't get, and you've harbored the bitterness ever since, and you'd like to get me for it. You didn't get a position. You didn't get a promotion. You were not given power or influence, and so it's eaten at you. You were virtually embarrassed. Of course, you had yourself inflated beyond reality anyway. But you were embarrassed. You thought everybody knew that you were really the one that deserved it, and you've held it against me ever since. If I didn't give you power, then you will take it. Now, I just want you all to know, I have studied this thing. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Are you all quiet because you're tired, or you're just shocked again? are you shocked at the honesty?
Yes, sir.
What happens these bad splits? What causes them? Well, let's go on. What's a good split? Well, you know, I told you earlier, a bad split are people who do not want the old-time religion. What's a good split? People who do want the old-time religion. So what do you mean by that? Oh, you'll find people that are going to a church, but they're stuck somehow in a not-so-good situation. Do you know there are people that believe the old-time way, and things begin to happen in a church? Maybe they call a new pastor, and the new pastor doesn't believe the old-time way. Now, you've got an old-time independent fundamental Baptist that believes in separation from the world and getting people saved in the King James Bible. Now, they're stuck in a church where the pastor doesn't believe that way. Well, what happens? Some people are going to split out of that church. Maybe a pastor leaves the old-time ways. It's easy to do. Pastors corrupt. Pastors leave their roots and what they used to believe. So the people in the church, they say, look, the pastor's changed. We don't believe what we used to believe. Our church is dead. It's dry. They're virtually turning on what we used to believe. And there are times when people will say, it's time for us to make a change. What's a good split? A good split within a church is... let me give you a philosophy. Did you know that you multiply by dividing? You multiply by dividing. What do you mean by that? You multiply your Sunday school classes by splitting them and dividing them.
Amen.
So see, I think we ought to have good splits within the church.
Right.
You take a Sunday school class and you can multiply it by splitting it.
Right.
I think a good split is a bus route. You can multiply a bus route by splitting it or dividing it. I think you can multiply the amount of work and accomplishment in a church if you will split up the work. So you see, I think there are good splits and there are bad splits. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Proverbs 12:13 says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. There are good splits and bad splits. Hey, let's split our church. You say, how so? Let's split our Sunday school classes up. Let's multiply them. Somebody says to me, to what do you attribute the growth in your church? I said, I've been splitting it. I've been splitting our church. I've been splitting our Sunday school classes. We started about two years and 4 months ago with 12 Sunday school classes. We now have 40. And our church has grown. We multiplied by splitting. Most people go down when they split. We go up when we split. We chose to have the right kind of a split. How did we do this? Well, we split all the kids up and all the people up into grade levels. And at one time when we had 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade Sunday school class, we split them up. So we had a 6th grade class and a 7th grade class and on, every grade level. We split up according to gender. Where at one time there was a boy and a girl combined class, we split them up and gave the boys a boys teacher and the girls a girls teacher. Eventually, we'll probably have to do some splitting geographically so Sunday school teachers can visit folks. Maybe we'll have a class, some Sunday school classes for those that are from Hagerstown and maybe from down in Winchester. But we're going to grow by splitting. A larger class that splits means students get better attention. Means we'll need another teacher to teach the Word of God. And it creates a place for another assistant teacher. That means more people visiting absentees and more activities. If our church had 3 activities a year church-wide, it would be great. But I have 40 Sunday school classes. If they had 3 activities a year each, we'd have 120 activities a year. Let's split our church. Wait, not only should we split our Sunday school classes, let's split our bus routes. It's very difficult to serve 60, 70 people on one bus route. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. And we have split some. I think, Brother Bajan, we've split your route since I came. I think we're getting ready, Brother Doss. I think we're working on your route. If you don't split it first. But we are. We're splitting some bus routes. They grow and expand. We reach more people that way. The people get better service that way and better attention that way. It means we need more workers, more captains, more runners, more drivers, more people to run a program. We cover more territory that way. There are good splits and there are bad splits. A good split is to split a Sunday school class to serve the people, to split a bus route to serve more people. A good split, let's split up the physical labor around here. You know, if the entire congregation gets involved in taking care of the church, we split up the labor, we'll get more done that way. We'll accomplish more that way. To those of you that help us to care for the grounds, thank you so much. But if Brother Butch had to do it all himself, there's no way he could. He couldn't work his wife that hard. But thank God for all the people that pitch in. If we can split up the labor, we're going to get more done for God. Churches ought to have splits, but they ought to be the right kind of splits. We have a lot of building maintenance, and we do not have at this time a maintenance man. Thank God our staff men are so talented. There's hardly a thing they can't do. They can dance. They can, you name it. But thank God that we have the men. But the more we split up some of the maintenance, the more we'll get done. There'll come a time we're going to have to pull together, and Brother Bajan is going to organize snow removal, and it's going to take a bunch of men, and some of you need to go to him and say, Brother Bajan, how can I get involved? We'll split it up. Not just one can take care of it. The cleaning of the buildings, the bus maintenance, what do? We're splitting up things in the church. I don't think anybody ought to grab a hold of something and say, that's mine, you can't touch it. No, we got to get people involved. So let's split up the physical labor. Hey, there's something else we should do. We should all as individuals split away from some things. All of you ought to be going through some splits in your Christian life. Need to split away from some wicked entertainment. You definitely need to split away from those that sow discord. Every little bit that you associate with gossips and people that sow discord, the more you contribute to a possible split in a local New Testament church. Split away from bad music. Split away from the people that tempt you to do wrong. Some of you need to split away from your clique. If you are with people that are comfortable criticizing the church, you're with the wrong people. Split away from your laziness. Split away from your pride. Get away from your pride before it causes you to get away from your church. That's what causes splits. And so I say to you, we ought to split our Sunday school classes, and we ought to split our bus routes. We ought to split up the physical labor, and we ought to split away from those things that are wrong that would destroy us. We ought to learn to split away from the used-to-beers. The what? The used-to-beers. Now see, you have to do this if you're going to keep the old-time way. If you want to stay fundamental in what you believe, you've got to be careful. You see, to keep a pure element of believers, a church, and the only way a church is going to say what God wanted it, it's got to make sure that when the organizations around it change, that you split away from them. It protects the church. You say, what are you talking about? The used to beers. The ones that used to be for the King James Bible, and they're not anymore. You know what we have to do? We have to split away. You know, there are organizations that started out fundamental. They believe the Bible. They believe the King James Bible. They have changed. And if we're not careful, we are attached to them. We've got to learn when to split away from something that has deteriorated. They used to believe in soul winning and keeping people out of hell. They don't believe it anymore. What are we to do? We're to split away. They used to believe in proper music. They don't anymore. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about so-called Christian organizations. They started right, and now they have veered away from what is right. And if we're not careful, we'll stay attached to them, and we'll get to veering with them. See, but they used to be. But they're used to beer. Think about it now. Those that used to be for the old-time way, they're not anymore. They used to be for the right kind of gospel music. Now they've got their contemporary and their rock bands and everything. They're used to beers. They didn't used to be like that, and that's why you associated with them. That's why we would unify or yoke up with them. But when they change, then there has to be a sweating off. If not, you will deteriorate your own church. They used to believe in pastoral authority. Now they've got a board or a denomination running the pastor. The preacher used to preach it straight. Now he doesn't hardly preach. He has drama every other service instead of preaching. The preacher used to believe ladies ought to be modest, but he doesn't anymore. We got to be careful now, or we'll be sucked right down the tube with used-to-beers. Missionaries that used to be fundamental. Christian schools that used to have convictions about purity, modesty, and decency. What happens is we get into a routine, we're locked into those things, and before long, we're fellowshipping with people that really are nothing like us. Because we stay down the old path, and they've gone down a new path, and we're so used to the association, we think it's all okay. I could take you to colleges. I could take you to churches that used to be right with God. Now they're a mess. It's called ecclesiastical separation. That's why we're independent. No denomination runs us. Why? If you're not careful, you get in a denomination, then they're going to tell you what to preach. When the denomination goes sour, all the churches in it go sour. We're independent. If we go sour, we don't have to pull anybody down, but if everybody else goes sour, we can stay right with God. You say, well, if you go back to those of you that were here when I came to candidate, you can look very, very carefully. Some of you need to listen to the sermon again that I preach called, Please Don't Vote for Me. I told you this back then. I said, look, I'm an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist. That's what I am. I plan to stay that way. If everybody else wants to go in opposite direction, I plan to stay right down the line. You know, there are people that I used to preach with and for, I don't anymore. They have changed. God help me, I don't want to change. I still love them. But I'm not like them anymore. They're not like me. And for me to stay with them will change me, not them. To stay will corrupt. To stay will... If I hang around dead, corrupt, and people that are just getting more and more worldly, I'll mess myself up. You say they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. They're used to beers. We must split away from anything that detours us from the old-time ways and having God's blessing.
Amen.
You want revival? There's a price to pay. It's called splitting. There are good splits. We ought to split away from those that used to be right with God, and they're not anymore. Number 6, realize that some will split away from us. They left Jesus, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
I preached a sermon here, I think, 3 Sunday mornings ago, where Jesus said, "Will ye go away also?" They left Jesus. When he got to the cross, there were only 3 people hanging around.
Yes.
He had healed and fed thousands, multiplied thousands. Where were they all? They'd split off. They had their tail between their legs and running. You know, there will be some people who will probably leave our church. They will split. I don't want them to. I don't want to lose one single person. And anybody that knows me knows I work very hard to keep them all. Very hard. I don't want to lose anybody. I love everybody. I want to keep everybody. But you know, sometimes people may split off a church, and it might be God protecting the church. Someone who would destroy the church's unity, if they wouldn't get right with God, if they split off, they may have protected the church by splitting off. I think the thing to do is to get with the program. I think the thing to do is to get some loyalty. I think the thing to do is to change their attitude or to change their life and to change themselves around and become positive about what's going on. But if they're just flat out not going to do it, as they said in the pew, they disrupt things. Where will these people come from? Some will have come from denominational churches that just won't accept the old Baptist biblical truth. You know, there's some people that just don't believe the Bible. I can stand up here and say, "Thus saith the Lord," it's right in the Bible, read it, and they say, "Well, I don't believe that." There are some people that are liberal in their interpretation of the Bible. I'm conservative. I believe God said it. That's it. I think God left it for us to logic through. I think He just expects us to shut up and obey.
Amen.
Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But there are people that are very liberal about this thing called church and religion. They'll be unwilling to change. Now somebody's got to change, them or me. Sorry, man. I can't. I ask God to kill me if I do. That's how serious I am about believing this book word for word. I said, "God, if you're ever going to put me on a shelf, just kill me." And He put me on a shelf if I put my tail between my legs and run. I'm not going the way of the world. But listen, if you are one of those that have a liberal interpretation of Christianity, don't try to change this church. That's disloyal. I wish you would change to the old-time way. But look, you would probably be happier in a liberal church.
Right.
I hate to see you miserable. And I don't know if this applies to anybody, but I want to tell you what splits churches. People that don't want the old-time way hang around and cause a fuss when the preacher ain't changing.
That's right.
You'll find yourself comparing us to the place from which you came. Or the place that you wish you were. Now listen, why would I want my church to be like the place from which you came? You were miserable and left there.
Yeah. Good.
You know, what causes splits? I've given you many things. You know, there's even a right way for a person to leave a church? I teach this to assistant pastors. Sometimes an assistant pastor will find himself working in a church that has changed for the worse. I say to him, now you, when you leave, you need to leave and you should make no waves. I said, this is how good people leave a church. They don't go around talking about all their differences, inflating their ego and pride and trying to protect themselves. They're just quiet. They take nobody with them. See, this is the way splits become splinters. A person that is a decent person says, I have disagreement, I'm not going to change, it's an issue to me, I've got to go. And they very quietly say, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go tell everybody all my differences, I'm not going to make waves, I don't want to hurt the work that I'm leaving, I will leave my part of the work healthy, both financially and numerically, I will quietly slip out the back door and hurt no one. That's how good people leave a church when they can't agree with it. They don't misuse the influence that the pastor permitted them to have. I've got a real bad problem when a pastor gives a man or a woman some influence in the church, and when that man or woman get contrary, they misuse the very influence the pastor trusted them with and use that influence against him. That is wrong. That's wicked. Look, if I gave you a position around here, don't you dare use your influence against what this church stands for. Be honest.
Amen.
I say now, you quietly slip out the back door. If you disagree, be mature enough to disagree in a mature, agreeable way. And I'll tell you something. You'll find this out. I don't kick people on their way out. They may want to come back. They may one day look back and say, you know what, I made a bad mistake. I was confused or backslidden or hurting. I don't think we got to kick people when they're down. But I know people that will kick on their way down. Now that's how a good person leaves a church. They split off of it the right way. Let me tell you how wicked people leave a church. They tell everybody they can all their disagreements. They take people with them. They hurt the work. They don't leave quietly. They misuse their influence. They want to leave things in a mess and make their mark. The difference between good people that move and bad people that move. Somebody's out there in some church that is corrupted and it's going downhill. And so you know, they're everywhere. They are everywhere. If there's a good, independent, fundamental Baptist that believes the old-time way, and they're in a church out there somewhere that doesn't believe the old-time way, if they're going to slip out, they ought to do it with some dignity and not try to tear that church to shreds. They ought to be polite and quiet and decent and slip out and don't make a ruckus. They don't have the right to make a ruckus. If they were the pastor, God would have selected them to be the pastor. He did not, so they ought to reverence the position, though they may not want to follow anymore. They went out from us because, I'm sorry, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I think the Bible very clearly teaches if a person isn't going to do, if they're not going to do right, I wish when they leave, I wish they'd do right while they leave. I don't know of one single person that's leaving my church. I don't know of one single person that's mad at me. Not one. But this is the time when you preach a sermon like this. This is preventive maintenance. I don't want to ever come to that point. I don't want to lose one person. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just telling you, I've studied what causes church splits. I figured out how it ought to be handled, and I really believe that if we would all practice what was preached tonight, we'll have a very peaceful, wonderful ministry for a long time to come. Everybody says, well, every church I've ever heard of has a church split. I don't want one. I don't want one. And anybody that's predicting it, but go home. We're not going to do it around here. It's not the plan. We plan to be bigger than that, more spiritual than that, and show America exactly how a group of people gel together and unify and rise up and do right.
Amen.
And somebody's got to split off, let them take their luggage by themselves and do it appropriately. But don't split the congregation. It's the right thing to do, because the Bible says the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, I apologize that you've heard such. But the very nature, which is your sin nature, is what causes a preacher need to preach a sermon like this. Because we're sinners, we don't always handle ourselves well. If you're not born again, you're a sinner that needs a Savior. I invite you to the Savior this evening. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.